Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to another electrifying episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host Simon Fink and today we're diving deep into the sonic abyss with none other than the phenomenal Katrin Vincent from Another Sky. Hailing from the vibrant UK music scene, Another Sky has been making waves with the release of their mesmerising second album, Beach Day. This ethereal masterpiece takes listeners on a captivating journey through expansive soundscapes and emotive lyricism, and it leaves an indelible mark with each and every listen. Today we've got the brilliant Katrin Vincent gracing our virtual studio to spill the beans on all things Beach Day. From the hauntingly beautiful melodies to the intricate sonic textures, get ready to uncover the secrets behind this spellbinding album. Katrin will be giving us an exclusive peek behind the curtain, revealing the magic that unfolded during the recording process in a church crypt. You did hear that correctly, a church crypt. Talk about setting the stage for a truly otherworldly experience. In today's episode, we'll also be delving into the inspiration behind the tracks on Beach Day, exploring the personal stories and transformative moments that shape Another Sky's musical landscape. From moments of doubt to triumphant breakthroughs, Katrin lays it all bare in this intimate and honest conversation. Also, for all of you live music enthusiasts out there, stick around as we chat about the electrifying experience of debuting some of these mesmerizing songs live on stage and how they come to life in a live setting. Before we dive into today's conversation, we do want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Lavelle for her invaluable assistance in bringing this episode to fruition. And hey, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on all our socials for more exclusive content. All details can be found within today's show notes. So let's get straight to it. Here is our conversation with Katrin Vincent from Another Sky. Welcome to This Song Is Yours, Katrin Vincent from Another Sky. Katrin, hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I'm okay. I'm getting through.
That's good to hear.
How are you, Simon?
Look, the same. I would say the same. Getting through, and I'm not going to complain about getting through.
Nice.
Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today. I am very excited to chat with you about this record. There's a brand new record from Another Sky out right now. It is called Beach Day. It is a gorgeous record. So firstly, congratulations on this brand new record that is out from yourself and the band.
Thank you so much. It feels surreal.
Of course. It's the second album from the band. I know that this one... there was a bit more going in behind the scenes, but I know that it's kind of been a bit of a journey to make this record, and it is this gorgeous, stunning, very expansive kind of record, a lot of big sounds. Is there a sense of relief now that the album is out? It has been out for a few weeks, but is there a sense of relief now that these songs are out into the world and being able to be enjoyed by fans?
A huge sense of relief because we sat on a lot of them for quite a long time. So, yeah, I feel really relieved and like I can finally move on to what the next bit of music sounds like. So, it feels really good to have let go of that album.
Of course, there is a stunning kind of collection of tracks with Beach Day. I'd love to know, and You might have mentioned it just before we started recording that you're currently in the crypt, which is where I believe the record was made, in a converted crypt underneath a church, if I've got those facts correct. Can you tell us, I guess, what kind of led to yourselves and the band self-producing and recording this record in the crypt?
Well, I guess, so we were in a studio before, an infamous studio complex in Limehouse. There's like a big clock and all sorts of things happen in that studio space, including a weed farm above us that flooded the studio twice. Funny things were happening. There was like a power cut and a blackout and guard dogs running around. So I said to everyone, we've got to find somewhere else. And one of our managers, his mom ran a nursery in this crypt 10 years ago. And Jack, our guitarist, cold called the vicar and said, is anyone using crypt space? And I think the vicar was trying to set up a brewery down here. Hmm. And the vicar just said, no one's using this space. And he's a massive Idols fan. Hmm. And when he got his job here, the first thing he said when he saw the crypt was, you could have raves down here. So he was instantly in. And we got Jack's builder dad up, builder carpenter dad up to the crypt, who built, there's like this tunnel. Mm-hmm. And he built a wall in the middle to separate our space, which is half of the tunnel. And we've got this massive kind of control room and then a live room. And honestly, it's just a dream. The stone walls, it's just a dream. It's like a dream space in London, because there's not many spaces. All the spaces in London, it's like 2-3 grand a month. So this is really nice and cheap. That's the crypt.
I can imagine recording in a place like that, though, or in a setting and surroundings like that, do they ever kind of seep into the inspiration of the sound or how you're kind of building a track or recording it or how you want it to, the sonics to be?
I reckon so. I think the tunnel, we could finally get a really big drum sound with the tunnel space. And the organ pump, there's an organ pump that was probably on some of the recordings. And then you get choirs and orchestras and baby groups above, and you can hear Fee. And we actually have, when we first came here, I jumped out of my skin because my guitar is a single coil guitar and it picked up, my amp picked up the sermon upstairs. So I switched on my amp, and this voice just came out of the amp, crackling, like, ooh. And I thought, oh my God, my amp's been possessed. I'm going to die. But it was a sermon from upstairs. So I think that ended up somewhere in recording. But definitely album 3, we're going to use a lot more sounds from the space.
I absolutely love that. I feel like some bands or some people might be put off by like the, maybe not the sermon itself, but almost the possessed amp kind of speaking to you in the middle of that. But I love that. And I think it's kind of almost has played into the recording and some of the songs of this album, because they do have this, as I said, the sound's very expansive, but some of these songs do have like a incredible tone or, it's not even theme. And vibe seems like the most appropriate word. I'm sorry to use that because I know that word's kind of overused, but some of these songs just have this, let's say, tone that I think really play into the crypt. I was wondering if you might indulge me a little bit I was hoping to kind of ask about one of the tracks on the record that I really connected with. As I said, the record is out now for people who are listening. I found myself coming back to I Never Had Control, which was a stunning record. Stunning song. I feel like kind of acknowledges the farewelling of oneself or an aspect of oneself and then the moving on from that. Are you able to share with us, I guess, yeah, the inspiration of that track and how it came to be?
I think in lockdown, I really struggled and I was on benefits and I couldn't find work because there just wasn't anything. And I felt like a huge failure, loads of personal things had gone on in my life. And I discovered Nick Drake, if you know the artist Nick Drake and his really tragic story. And I discovered him on my 27th birthday. And I think he died at 26 or 27.
Yeah.
A supposed suicide. And it felt really poignant that I'd listened to him. And it was my 27th birthday and I was kind of alone in my flat. And I thought, I'm going to learn one of his songs. So I learned one of his songs. And I was pretty much going to quit music. And it was through learning one of his songs that I thought, oh, you just can't. If you're an artist or a musician, if you're creative, which everyone is, you're not going to stop doing it just because the world feels like it's ending or because someone has said you're not good enough. You don't stop making music. And then I wrote I Never Had Control and I wasn't going to show anyone. It was in standard tuning and I've always played in Dadgad, but I was kind of trying to relearn standard tuning. And I remember when I played it out of my iPhone speaker and I was listening really quietly at 8 a.m. one morning and Jack, our guitarist, heard it and said, "What's that?" And I went, "Oh, a song. I don't think it's very good." And Jack went, is that your song?" And I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "Yes, that's really good." And he was like, "We have to do this today. We have to do this song today." And he rang Max. And I think Naomi was really sadly at work. But he rang Max and I thought, oh no, I need to finish this song. So I ran really quickly to the studio and the crypt and I finished my version of the song and then they both came and we worked it out as a band. And I think lyrically I was just so wide open. I just didn't have any ego at that point. I wasn't trying to prove anything because I'd felt like I'd lost everything and it hadn't worked anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be completely honest with myself. And then in that way you can be completely honest. You can inspire people to be completely honest too, with an audience. And I just didn't want any. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Please go for it.
I didn't want any bullshit. I didn't want to dress it up in anything. I just wanted it to be, here is how I feel. That's it. And I think it's, I don't know if we'll ever write a song like it again, hopefully, but yeah, there's something special about that song for sure.
There definitely is. And thank you so much for kind of sharing that story with us because I do appreciate it. I know having read, I guess in doing preparation for today, having read some interviews, listening to other podcasts, just kind of getting myself immersed in the world of yourself and the band. I know that, as you mentioned, there were some certain situations kind of leading up to this that I imagine weren't easy to go through. And I know that in other press, you've kind of mentioned that this record does kind of deal with the feelings of both anger and freedom and how there is freedom in anger. and it is kind of this, it's a very interesting and perspective that you take in it. And I think it's kind of, you've addressed it really well within these songs. When creating it, what was that process of like finding that balance like? Because I imagine that you want to, what was it? Oh, now trying to think of it now, this is going to bug me. There was a quote that you gave that had to do with like how holding on to the anger turns into bitterness. And that I think that the letting go of that and leading to the freedom does something better. I probably botched that quote, so apologies. But yeah, how do you find that balance when writing the songs and kind of creating them and leaning too far into the anger or leaning too far into that, finding that kind of perfect mix?
I think the answer to that is to always write an answer song. Like songs are never finished because there's always a song that comes after a song. And what I mean is, I Never Had Control could be an answer to Psychopath. And a lot of the songs on our album, and I remember this with our first album as well, they always came in pairs. There were always twin songs that were kind of answering each other. I think songwriting is just a constant conversation with yourself. And what I'm loving with album three, we're writing album three now, is that I keep referencing really old lyrics, and it's like creating another Sky Law. Gen Z love the word law. And it's like, oh yeah, this is an answer to this that I was feeling 5 years ago or 10 years, even 10 years ago. Like this is where I'm at now. And I think the only reason I could move through that anger was having this band and being able to create music. And I think the problem we have, I'm going off on tangents here, but a big problem we have is when we stifle creativity, because I think in this country we're living through.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Stifling of creativity, especially with our government that we've had for 10 years and world events. When you stifle creativity, you block people. Because anger itself is an important emotion. There aren't negative emotions. You shouldn't suppress anger. You should never suppress anger. It's telling you something. Mm. And if you can move through whatever you're going through creatively, you're moving as motion. You're moving through something. But when people don't have... We're so lucky to have the crypt. We are so lucky. I have so many musician friends who can't get studio spaces or can't afford them or are in situations where it's just hard. It's hard to make music. We are lucky. And that meant I could move through a lot of emotion, including anger, at a high speed. And... I hope I've answered the question.
No. I feel like you have. I feel like that it kind of addressed, I guess, where and how you were able to balance that, and I guess the driving force behind why, I guess, some of the musical decisions that you've made in it. Katrina, I would love to, I guess, get your take on your introduction to songwriting, or what first drew you to the art of writing songs and writing these kind of honest and open lyrics.
I think I was just saying to someone, it's honestly just a way to speak. And we've had songs where there's been more of an intention, like I've thought about songwriting, and I've thought about, well, what makes a good song? Or I've copied someone else. And I'm sure it's the same for the rest of the band. We're all songwriters in our own right. And over the past few years, I've realized I don't want to think when I'm songwriting. I just want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you have to write a lot of songs, and a good one will come through. But I think as soon as you start overthinking something, or thinking it needs to sound like this and it needs to be this, you start putting a frame around it, you've lost something. And loads of people disagree with me. Loads of people disagree with me and have way more of a method. But I don't want to think when I'm writing a song. I just want it to be an expression. But the thing is, having said that, I studied songwriting at uni. I am in a band with a record deal. I've learned all the rules. And I think there is something behind learning all the rules first to be able to unconsciously break them later on. And I only think now, it's only now that I've arrived at a point where it can just come out and I don't think. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and go, like, I don't have to think. When I'm writing a song, like, I'm very lucky. I've had a life where all I've had to do is write songs. And you have to make those mistakes to learn from them. Like, when we wrote a certain song that was really thought about and calculated, I learned I didn't like that. Not because it's wrong, but because I don't like it. Songwriting is just kind of a way to document living, I think. I'm hoping this is making... I'm very cerebral today. I'm very, like, in my head. So I'm hoping that this is making sense.
100% it is making sense. But it's one of those things. We've been lucky enough to talk to, I think, hundreds of artists now about songwriting. And it seems to be different for every person. It seems to be that some, have a very extreme or intense focus. And some, as you've said, like, it comes to you. It's not something that you actively have to kind of put thought into. There's thought and intention behind it, but it's almost sometimes like you're simply a vessel for that song to kind of travel through to be created or written or something like that.
Yeah, our drummer Max says that's his belief, that we are just receiving energy from the universe, and music is all around us, and you have to sort of act as a conduit for musical energy. I used to think that, and now I disagree. And I think I do understand that musically, but I think the past 4 years I've become a music teacher, and through that I've learned that yes, there is talent in music, but I think everyone has a right to speak. If I think songwriting is speaking, everyone has a right to speak. And I don't like it when people say, I'm not creative, I'm just not a creative person, or I'm not good at this. I don't think music or art is something, or songwriting is something you have to be good at. And I actually think, this is really going off on a tangent, but I actually think TikTok is a great example of that, because someone like me can go to uni and study music and play in this band for 10 years. And then someone else who's maybe like 16, way younger, can go on TikTok, four chords on a guitar, and they just say something really honest and really true, and everyone connects to it. I don't think you have to be good at songwriting. And I guess that feeds into what Max and you said about kind of receiving messages from the universe. I don't know if that's what you said, but that's kind of what Max said. I guess that 16-year-old playing four chords is receiving something from the universe. And when you're young, you can just let it... You're very honest and earnest when you're young, and it just comes out and people relate to it. And maybe that's something I could learn moving forwards. I hope that that... There are a million things in that, and I don't think they answered your question.
No, I feel like it did. It was kind of talking about the art of songwriting and how everyone's method is different. And it kind of, what you brought up was like, while yours might be this one thing, for some 16-year-old on TikTok, their method and creative kind of equation, algorithm, whatever that you want to call it, that they use is a totally different thing, but both can work. It seems to be that it doesn't have to be one thing. As you said, you don't have to be technically good at songwriting. You can attempt songwriting and just kind of stumble across being good in a way. It doesn't have to be that kind of proficiency kind of thing, I think. So it did make sense. It did connect up all together.
That's good. I'm glad. Yeah. I think, this is a great podcast. You just talk about songwriting. It's just brilliant.
Well, look, thank you. Thank you again for coming on. I was hoping to ask a non-songwriting question just for a second. I know that you've got some tour dates, I believe in September across the UK from this brand new record. Is there certain tracks that you're looking forward to kind of debuting and seeing how they go in the live setting, in the live arena?
I Caught on Fire. We love that song. I can't wait to get that one right live. Playground, we've got a really interesting... We just tried Playground for the first time on our in-store tour. Really stripped back. And it was really emotional. Any others? I think Star Roaming is going to be a funny one. Just because it's so unapologetically big. And I can't wait to sing that one. Yeah, I think that's it.
Look, I feel like some of these songs, actually most of these songs from this record, feel like they are, even if playing in a medium-sized venue, they sound huge. So I'm sure that, in a live setting, they're going to just kind of go completely off. It might be a little silly of me to ask, but I feel like I have a duty to all of those fans of the band here in Australia. At any point, maybe some point this year, maybe some point next year, can we expect to see another Sky down here playing some shows in Australia in support of the record?
Oh, that would be a dream. Hopefully, it's quite... Brexit has really screwed things up for us. It's just really expensive. But we will try. We love you, Australia. We love you, Australia. We're going to have to make it there somehow at some point.
The love is definitely felt and reciprocated back to yourselves. And when that does hopefully happen, we'll make sure we've got everything promoted across the podcast and all of our socials and everything. Katrine, I was hoping I might ask, we usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's on high rotation for yourself?
Nils Fram has just put out a beautiful piano record. I'm looking at my Spotify. We've been listening to Casey Musgraves. Casey Musgraves. I'm just having a look now. Yard Act here in the UK. Where's My Utopia? Sick artwork, Yard Act. McGee, who is an exceptional guitarist.
A few people have recommended McGee lately. I must be very late to this party, but yeah, quite a few people have suggested their music.
Well, he's the guitarist for Dijon, and I think people are starting to recognize him as a solo artist, and he just played a gig in London that just was huge. That was a huge gig. So he's doing really, really well. Juno Dream, another UK band, Marieke Hackman. I'm just going through my Spotify. Do you know what? There's an artist called Tamino who is amazing, and I'm hoping he's going to release... I think he's gearing up to release some music soon. So Tamino is my ultimate recommendation.
I will admit that I'm not across that, but we'll definitely give it a listen and see what we think. There's some very good recommendations in there as well in terms of Yard Act and Casey Musgraves and Nils. Always, I feel like Nils never misses in terms of his kind of music that he puts out.
Never, ever.
Katrin, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. I do very much appreciate it. Congratulations again on the brand new record from Another Sky. It is Beach Day. It's out now. All links in the podcast show notes will be where people can buy it, stream it, catch those European and UK dates in September. But thank you again for coming on and having a chat.
Thank you so much. This has been so fun.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.